I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us once again on this special episode of Muslim Lady. As always, I have the honor and privilege of being joined in the studio with my darling sister and expert, Sister Razia Shamri. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
I always get so excited whenever we are supposed to have discussions. I hope our listeners half as excited as I am about the things that we talk about, especially this episode, because the topic might seem repetitive, but the essence of it is something that we obviously cannot talk about enough. We are dedicating this episode of Muslim Lady to the topic of hijab. Before you guys roll your eyes and say, oh my God, hijab again, how much more are you going to talk about it? We're going to keep talking about it until it's no longer an issue in society, whether the Muslim society or the non-Muslim societies. For as long as non-Muslims view hijab as some sort of alien object on a woman's head and hallmark of the oppression, quote unquote, the Muslim lady faces, we definitely need to still talk about it.
This topic, even when you're looking at it from a fiqhi perspective, jurisprudential perspective, if you want to look at it from fashion, you know, perspective, if you want to look at it from socio-political, whatever perspective, there's always something new to say about it, because we're constantly changing, time is changing, our conditions and circumstances in life is constantly changing. So it's totally something new. It's a brand new topic to discuss.
Exactly.
Every time from a new perspective, from a new understanding.
And it's evolved so much since the verses regarding hijab first were revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fast forward 1400 years, and it's developed so many styles and colors, and sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, sometimes it's been remodified to suit the modern woman. Mm-hmm. In certain aspects, I think that's totally great. It's cool. It's wonderful. Make it practical. Why not? Islam is a practical religion. And sometimes they just take it overboard, I think, you know, with trying to remodify the hijab and make it like, especially the influencers.
Yeah. I was listening to this lady's talk show, and she was talking about how European investors can, you know, invest like their companies or their brands on having like new hijabi fashions, because a large number of women in the West are hijabi, or a lot of them who are not even observing the hijab, they like hijabi style clothing. Mm. So it's actually financially talking about it. I mean, from the economic perspective, there's so much to say about it, but that's not our topic for today. Mm-hmm. I was going through the words of Ayatollah Khamenei with regards to women. And even today, when you go to the West, like a couple of days ago, I was talking to my sister who is in Sweden, and she was like, this old lady was telling me, why do you have this thing on? I mean, what is the purpose of it? Like, even to this day, there are people who question you and they have no idea to why you're covering your hair and you're like wearing loose sitting
clothes. Unfamiliar for them.
So unfamiliar to them, despite the fact that like you just Google up hijab and like you get tons of sites and websites that tell you know, about everything about hijab.
And it's funny how like, well, Sweden isn't necessarily a very religious country, but for Western people who, well, most of them, even if they're not practicing, they're Christians nonetheless. And they're familiar with the Christian traditions and customs, and they've seen nuns.
Exactly.
Why is it still so weird to them?
You know, like Sweden, especially the city that my sister lives in, it's Malmo. Mm-hmm. And Malmo is a very multicultural city.
Ah.
It's like you see like tons of Muslims, African Muslims, Iraqi Muslims, Afghan Muslims, Iranians. And they're like, it's like you it's impossible. Like my other friend in Canada, Montreal, I was following her on Instagram and she had like some stories where she said, I'm going to the cinema, to the movies. And they were like, out of the 10 people present, 7 of them were Muslim women covered with hijab.
Oh, my goodness.
So like hijab is so prevalent in the West that East or West, wherever you're talking about, it's like everyone have seen, like it's impossible to go out in the street and not to see like
at least 1, 2, 3 cases.
At every minute that you're walking by, right? But still, they think that if they see a nun who is well covered in black, you know, from head to toe, that is totally modest and to be respected. But if you see the same woman, a Muslim woman, in black or whatever color, then they say, this is oppression. You're being belittled.
We should liberate her.
Yeah, you should be liberated. Your husband is forcing this on you. Your culture is doing this. Stop oppression against women, this and that.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Muslim Lady here on IRB English Radio. We'll be back after a short break.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
I am joined by Sister Razia Shamilia, and on today's episode, we're talking about hijab. So you were saying, it's cool when nuns do it, when Muslim women do it, y'all are
oppressive.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like how do you work? They even stop women to go to work, you know.
That is so weird.
Like, and it's interesting, Zainab, that a lot of men who do like to look at non-hijabis, like with makeup and like
dolled up.
Yeah, dolled up and like who have like, you know,
showcase themselves.
Yeah, showcase themselves in the streets. But once they want to get married, they choose modest hijabi women because they want security in life. They want to be sure that the lady they're with is someone that is not going to be with other men, who's not going to look at other men, that they can, you know, put their next generation into the womb of a pure, godly person, right?
Like, even if you look at it from a non-Islamic perspective, even non-Muslim men, they'd rather, like, they might date many, many immodest women. There's a word for it that I don't want to use. But once it comes to settling down, they want to choose a woman who has priorities and integrity.
Exactly.
I mean, to a certain degree, it's literally like in our genes to want that. It's that, evolution.
That's modesty. That,
yeah.
And it's not just like when you're talking about concept of hijab for women, you also have it like for men in their own ways. And the same way that a man likes to marry a hijabi girl, a hijabi woman who he can have a degree of confidence.
Are you keen on using the word hijabi, though? Would you rather use hijabi or modest?
What I mean by hijab is like, you know, a real true hijabi woman, a one who really believes in hijab from deep within. And with the hijab, hijab is just a manifestation of her modesty, of her haya, of her iffah, right?
Right.
Her chastity, that she, like there is this protection, the sense of protection of, you know, protecting that gem in herself, that thing that she only chooses whom to show, right? Certain people in her life that she chooses to show to and preserves her whole
integrity.
Beauty for, right?
Yeah.
In the same way, a woman, a modest, pious, hijabi woman, would choose a man who has true sense of chastity and also he has a hijab of the heart. Right? So it's like a two-sided thing.
Absolutely.
And because at the end of the day, like, you will have some, like, short fun times. If you want to, like, as I said, settle down for good and have, like, peace of mind and know that this guy is going to stay loyal to you and you're going to have a nice life together, you have to get someone who's truly pious and who fears God. thing is that, like, the new generation, especially the ones, it doesn't really matter in the East or in the West, many girls, they have been brought up in a way and in certain conditions where they do not have the tendency, or they don't like to really be hijabi. Mm. They don't like to observe the hijab. And this is something that is very sad, because, like, I remember myself, I was 9 when I moved to Canada.
Right? Oof.
Like, at, you know, like at just the time where
that
you
transition
went,
moment.
Yeah, from very childhood to teenage to it, right?
Yep.
And I remember that never ever did my mom or my dad tell me that you have to wear your scarf, or you have to, like, wear your manto, or your, you know, your hijab this way or that way. Never even once, Zainab.
For
I was
real?
Told how to dress up. Ever.
Now, how did you pick it up?
You know, I was born in Iran and I was raised in Qom. Maybe, like, I picked it up from my mom, or, like, the school that I went to, my friends, my relatives, the people that I you know, grew up with were good Muslims. And I...
Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Like, I really didn't have a good philosophical foundation, a good logical foundation for wearing the hijab, but it was something that I wanted to do.
It was ingrained in you.
Ingrained in me. And then later on... I even went to high school there, and I was, at one point in my life, I was the
only...
Did
you go to a public school?
Yeah, I did go to a public
wow.
school. And I was the only Muslim hijabi girl in that public school. Like, imagine...
Oh, my goodness. How many years ago was this? Like, 20 years?
Yeah, that was like 20 years ago. You can guess my age.
She's very young. You guys, she's so young.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I remember, like, my parents were not there in school. Like, people, a lot of parents who have concern for their young girls to wear the hijab, you know, also have the concern that they don't even like to pray. Mm. So it's like, you know, the generation whose concern, you know, that you have this concern for to wear the hijab and to pray, you know, it's like, it means that something is missing within themselves, within their identity, within their personality, that the, because hijab and prayers are just the branches, or they're just the leaves of the tree of faith, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So the trunk of the tree and the
roots.
The roots of the tree, there's something, the reason that you have problem with your girl's hijab or praying has to do in either the trunk or the roots of the tree, right? This lady I was reading an article from, she was saying that when Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayh, at the time of the Islamic Revolution of Iran, he was successful in assisting and to leading a large population of the youth of not only Iran, of, you know, youth around the world, to fight oppression, right? Mm-hmm. So what was the motive? The same motive, you can find it in the hijab of, you know, youth in this age, in this
wow.
generation. And that is the feeling or the urge to fight for something.
That's beautiful.
That was very nice. And I was like, oh, I never thought of it. I never looked at it from this perspective. That was, like, really nice.
Thank you, Sister Razia. Just a quick recap of what we've been discussing. It was the topic of hijab, the importance of understanding the essence of hijab as a form of self-discipline and a value to fight for, to wake up for in the morning, and to strive toward. Until another episode, I leave you all in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.